Earlier, I caught up with Professor Mike Clark, who's director of the MRC Methodology Hub in Queen's University Belfast. Mike is also a long-standing Cochrane contributor. I asked Mike, what is the Cochrane Methodology Review Group and what does his role involve?
Okay, so as part of the Cochrane collaboration, I'm coordinating editor of one of its review groups, which is called the Methodology Review Group. And what we do is we identify research that's been done anywhere in the world about how people can do trials and other studies of health or social care better. And we bring that research together to try and make sense of it, and then to be in a position to say to people that are designing new studies, these are good ways to design new studies, these are ways that you might wish to avoid because they're not going to be very successful, these are ways that we need a bit more evidence to know whether or not this is the best way to do it. And the aim is to make it easier for people to do the sorts of research that we really need in order to move things forward in health and social care, to identify treatments that work and identify things that, you know, even if they're well-meaning, they might not work.
So I take that you work alongside a lot of other colleagues as well, across not alone Ireland, but across the world as well.
It's international. We probably, inside the Cochrane Collaboration as a whole, there are probably 30,000 people in more than 120 countries. In our little bit of it that's looking at the methods for research, we've got, you know, a couple of hundred people, dozens of countries. And it's the only way to get a job like this done is to tap into that international expertise, but also to ensure that the answers that we generate have international relevance, so that somebody could pick up one of these studies, and whether they're working in Argentina or Ireland or South Africa or Australia, they could use one of our pieces of research to inform their own research.
And you must be kind of inundated with a lot of data as well, like from different organisations as well as different countries.
There can be a vast amount of data to deal with. What we tend to do is we look and we see what studies have been done by other people at any time, you know, over the last few decades that might be relevant to a particular question. So occasionally we're completely overwhelmed. One of our reviews looks at the best ways to get people to provide you with information through postal surveys. And if I was doing a trial in treating people with epilepsy, I might be trying to get them to answer some questions about their epilepsy every 6 months, let's say. So we've got a review that looks at ways in which you can help people to get good response rates to their questionnaires. That review has got hundreds of studies within it. And the team that was responsible for that had to try and make sense of that enormous amount of information. But it means that once they've done that, then someone that's thinking, how can I boost the responses to my questionnaire, can just look at that review. That person doesn't have to look at hundreds of studies. They look at the one review and it's all been summarized for them.
And it must be pretty kind of a tasking as well to sort through both, you know, deciphering which is the good data and which is the kind of not so good data.
That's a really good question, because that's one of the biggest challenges for reviewers. We, as a reviewer, I want to give the reader the most reliable answer possible. And so if there's rubbish out there in research that I've identified as potentially eligible for my review, I don't want to include that, because rubbish in, rubbish out. So one of the big tasks for the reviewer is to look at the material that's been generated across the world, across the decades, and say, is it good enough to help answer the question that we've set for this review? And so you're appraising the quality of the studies, and some of the studies aren't good enough, or some of the time the studies don't give you enough information for you to decide if they're good enough, and then we're in correspondence with the original researchers. Sometimes that's easy, sometimes it's, you know, difficult or impossible. If the research was done in the 1980s, we may struggle to track down the people who did it. And at that point, we have to say to our readers, we don't know whether or not this study is good enough to help you answer the question that you've got, but at least we're still doing the reader the service of saying, we found this, it might be eligible, this is our opinion about it, and helping that reader to decide how they might then use that information to make their own decisions and choices.
Now, as well as being a Cochrane contributor, you're also director of Evidence Aid, which is an affiliated initiative that provides decision-making before, during and after humanitarian disasters, or emergencies, I should say. We've had crisis mappers on the programme before, Patrick Myers, in conjunction with the National Geographic, and they were saying that a lot of the data that they find useful is actually user-generated data from crisis areas or conflict zones. Would you find that kind of similar vein of getting the material or evidence from those areas, from the people on the ground?
Yeah, certainly that's true. I mean, that's true of trying to work out the size of the problem after a disaster, or if you're trying to prepare the emergency plans that you would activate if a disaster occurred. What we're looking at really in Evidence Aid is saying what interventions or actions that people might take when they're trying to avoid a disaster, or they're trying to build structures that will sustain an earthquake, or they're responding to a disaster because one's happened, a tsunami has hit, or there's a hurricane or a chronic disaster such as a famine. What things can we do that are likely to work? And for that process, what we're really trying to do is bring together good quality research studies that people have done, where we can look at those studies and say, on balance, is it likely that this intervention or this action or this strategy does more good than harm? So that the decision maker can then say, well, I've got to do something, what can I do? And I definitely want to do the things that are most likely to benefit the populations that I am trying to work with, and the populations themselves are trying to decide, well, what should we do? So Evidence Aid is trying to make it easier for them to get the evidence that will allow them to make well-informed decisions and choices, and where those decisions and choices are going to lead to making things better for them. Because there are too many examples in healthcare and in other areas of people hoping that this new thing will work, and the reality is it might not work. So we need to know that, because then we don't waste time and resources and potentially expose people to harm by delivering or doing things that, you know, fundamentally don't work, or at the worst extreme are actually harmful.
And I guess it must be pretty difficult as well to provide resources possibly during a disaster or a humanitarian emergency, because it's ever-changing as well.
Correct. So one of the challenges for something like Evidence Aid is to try and be ahead of the disaster. So if people are planning how they would respond, they need to be considering the evidence on, for example, if it was a disaster in another country, what are you going to put on the plane? Who are you going to put on the plane to get out there to help people in the immediate aftermath of the disaster, and to help them in the following weeks and then into the recovery? So the one element of it is, how can you inform planning? But there is another element of, during a disaster, what should we be doing? And what Evidence Aid is hoping to do is to encourage an ability to allow people to gather that information in real time and use it for real time decision making in the morning meetings of the people that are in the field trying to help in the aftermath of disaster, or trying to help the practitioners who are the local practitioners trying to make decisions about what's the best thing that they could do. So we're aware that there are decisions that are taken before a disaster, but there are also decisions taken in the aftermath of a disaster, and we want to make sure that where there is good evidence, that's available to people. And the internet is, you know, the means to be doing that, and we know from some of the recent disasters that mobile technology is in place in many places, and so Evidence Aid is looking at ways in which the information that we've got could be made more accessible on a mobile phone rather than on a big desktop computer where the power may have gone, but the mobile phones are probably working. So can we give people the information that they need to make good choices at the time that they're making those choices?
Professor Mike Clark is director of the All-Ireland Hub for Trials Methodology Research at Queen's University Belfast. He is also a long-standing Cochrane contributor. Among his many roles in Cochrane, he is coordinating editor of the Cochrane Methodology Review Group and also director of Evidence Aid.